believe that Representative Ivan is still sick this morning, that Representative Veazey and...
Wasn't it a mining thing, was he?
No. That Representative Veazey and Representative Dyson are out of town, and we're kind of expecting that Representative Berkowitz will show up. So, first thing we'll do is we'll have my staff, we have a beginning bill here. So here he is, Representative Berkowitz is here. So we have a quorum, so that's exciting. We'll have hear from my staff who we have put together a beginning in a bill that doesn't, of course, nearly cover all of the things. Even if the language was correct, it wouldn't cover all the issues we have to cover, but it's a place to begin, and I'll let my staff tell us about the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, I'm Barbara Cotting, staff for Representative Jeanette James. To the committee members, in your packets, you have several items. In addition to the bill and the sponsor statement, there's a sectional analysis, which I will go over. There is a letter from Senator Green and Representative James to our congressional delegation, Senator Stevens, Senator Murkowski, and Congressman Young, just for your information, and minutes from the last work session that we had on this bill. I need to make a correction to page 4 of those minutes, where it says agriculture restructuring. Paul called me. If you look on page 4, I apparently attributed a couple of statements to him, the next to last paragraph and then two above that. But start out, Paul Call replied. He said he didn't say that. So as near as we can figure out, those statements were made by, let's see, Mike Swan. No, sorry, Chuck Bell, who's with the Natural Resource Conservation Service, USDA. So that correction needs to be made.
I'm sorry.
It's on page 4, towards the bottom, where fourth paragraph up, Hall of Fall changed to Chuck Bell with a question mark. We assume that.
We assume it was he.
Yeah.
And then the next to last paragraph, Hall of Fall, should be changed to Chuck Bell.
And that does make a little more sense since we're talking about issues that Hollis Hall is with the Cooperative Extension.
Right.
So it makes sense that are not things that he would have said.
Yes, it does.
So we have a problem when, and secretaries will agree, that when you don't continually say who you are before you speak again sometimes.
And that was quite an informal work session that day. We were observing a lot of...
I appreciate
the
minutes. You did a good job on them. I don't know how many sites we have on today. Where did our teleconference operator go?
Quite a few signed on.
We have a lot of people signed on. We're planning on keeping this meeting going till 12 if we have enough testimony for that. And if we don't get finished, we will be doing this again, and we'll be announcing a time when we conclude this meeting. I would, just as a message to the people out in the television, I mean the teleconference land, and anyone else that you're talking to about this bill, I think that we need to address this issue as an option to save a state Division of Ag responsibilities in one section. This is kind of a defense measure. I've been here in this legislature. This is my fifth season. And coming to the legislature as a supporter of agriculture, I have found it more and more and more difficult to get any support. And in downsizing government, it seems like that's the first place everyone looks. And so we are a small voice in the state, but we're an important voice in the state, particularly from where I come from, which is the North Pole area, and also in Delta Junction, which is nearby, and Nenana, which is nearby. The Kenai Peninsula has a lot of active participants in agriculture, as does the Mat Valley. And I believe that there is even opportunity to expand agriculture. Since the barley projects that were implemented probably nearly 20 years ago, they left a bad taste in everyone's mouth who's not directly involved with agriculture. And it's been an uphill battle trying to find or convince people who otherwise would be ag supporters to be supporting ag. And I maintain that the Delta Barley projects that we had were not a farming failure, but they were a legislative failure. There was an attempt to put in an instant farming community, and farming communities don't thrive on instant. They thrive on growth from very small to big. The interesting thing about it, however, is in Delta Junction area, the farming has succeeded in spite of it all, on its own, without an awful lot of help. And we've seen in the accelerated amount of production in the state over the last few years by an industry that really hasn't gotten much state support after that Delta barley brouhaha. So I think that what we really need to think about is here, what are the options? And if we don't like this option, what other options are there? If we hadn't interceded this year, in a couple of years, the Ag Revolving Loan Fund would be gone, and there would be nothing then left to support the Division of Ag. So that's the reality of it all, and we'll start by... do I have a list of where there are people on the teleconference?
Go over the bill.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess we better go over the bill. Okay. All right. It's Bill Ward.
Good. He made it.
I need to go get some information.
Okay.
Right,
yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted you there. And would you go ahead and tell us what we've gotten so far in the bill?
Okay. This bill that you have before you, House Bill 228. I'll read from the sponsor statement, was submitted in response to numerous requests from members of the agricultural industry in Alaska. It restructures the way state agricultural services will function in our state, making them more responsive to the industry's needs and more in touch with the grassroots operations of our producing farmers. And I will insert here, I've only been working on the ag issue a few weeks, and I am absolutely amazed at the agriculture operations, producing farmers in our state. It truly is amazing and offers a great deal of hope for economic development in our state. Alaska needs to encourage agricultural development. We need to remove roadblocks and allow the industry to grow and prosper for the benefit of our state and all its citizens. This bill is just a starting point, and we plan to expand the duties and authorities of the Agricultural Development Corporation once we agree upon its formation. We welcome all input and suggestions. We got together with the bill drafter and we started with some small pieces of the pie. It's an overwhelming thing what the agricultural industry has requested that we do. So we started, and I'm glad to hear Bill Ward is online in Kenai. He called yesterday and wasn't sure if he was going to make it into town, but we started essentially from a suggestion Bill Ward had made, and he has worked intensely with Tam Cook on coming up with just this starting point, which I'd like to go over with you, House Bill 228. And again, let me emphasize, this is just a starting point. It's a rough format, a rough framework of where we want to go. Section 1 actually adds a whole new chapter to Title 3. In our statutes, Title III is the large title, Agriculture and Animals. Chapter 9 is a brand new chapter entitled The Board of Agriculture. As you go through the bill, the first section, 0309-010, establishes a 5-member Board of Agriculture. One member shall be a member of a chartered statewide agriculture promotion organization. One member shall be a member of a chartered statewide agriculture conservation organization, and two shall be engaged in two different commercial production agriculture enterprises from two different geographic areas. One shall have general business or financial experience. It goes on to say board members will serve staggered 3-year terms, will receive $100 a day compensation plus authorized per diem and travel expenses when on official board business. Then the new section 0309020 authorizes the Board of Agriculture to elect a chair and a vice chair and to appoint an executive director and employ staff. The new section 0309030 defines a quorum and procedures for board meetings. 0309040 authorizes the Board of Agriculture to make recommendations to the Commissioner of Natural Resources regarding the classification of land as agricultural. And then once a parcel of land is classified, which the commissioner still will have the authority to do upon the recommendations of the board, then this section also authorizes the Board of Agriculture to actually dispose of the land, to sell it or put it up for auction. The director of the DNR Division of Lands is actually thus removed from the process of disposing of agricultural lands, while the existing Title 38 lottery and auction provisions remain the same. It just is transferred to the new board. Section 2 of the bill establishes the Agriculture Development Corporation as a public corporation of the state. At this time, just to simplify the framework, the Board of Agriculture also serves as the corporation's board of directors, and this will be a development corporation. Now, sections 3 through 13 are basically all technical. They make changes to existing law, which substitute in place of department and commissioner and the Ag Revolving Loan Fund Board, the Board of Agriculture or the Development Corporation, and they transfer the associated authorities to the Board of Agriculture and the Ag Development Corporation. Then if you go to Section 14, it adds the Board of Agriculture's executive director and staff to the list of state service positions exempt from the State Personnel Act, Title 39, so they can be hired as exempt employees like I am. Section 15 adds the Board of Agriculture to the definitions in Title 39 under public officers and employees, so that they're subject to the same regulations. Section 16 repeals sections in existing law defining the Agriculture Revolving Loan Fund Board and its duties and obligations. The ARLF board is thus eliminated and replaced with the Board of Agriculture. So this is putting everything, basically all the assets, in the same pie. Section 17 allows for staggered terms of initial Board of Agricultural members. One initial member shall serve 1 year, and two shall serve 2 years. Section 18 sets the effective date as July 1 of 1998.
Okay, thank you very much. And is there any questions by the committee members? Representative Elton?
Thanks, Madam Chair. Thanks for going through. I think I understand what we're adding, but sometimes it's helpful to me to look at it backwards and what disappears. I mean, does anything disappear with the addition of this?
Actually, the Division of Lands is removed from the process of disposing of agricultural land. Actually, the Division of Land will essentially disappear and be replaced by this board.
So there would be no more Division of Land?
That's the eventual
Division of Land in the Department of Ag. Because the other division.
The Department of Ag would eventually be phased out and replaced with this board of actual farmers that are out there and producing farmers for.
So the Division of Agriculture, headed now by former Senator Curtula, would dissolve over time.
Eventually, that may be what happens. As I said, we're not sure where we're going with this. This is just.
There certainly has to be a phase in to this.
Right.
So that's, we're talking about being effective on July 1 of 1998. Certainly, it could be effective, but that doesn't mean that's when everything's going to happen. We're going to have to do it in some kind of a phased process. The biggest problem we've had with this, setting up this whole issue, is how does it get funded? Because if we don't set it up, if we set it up so it depends on state funds, such as it is now, it'll be the same problem we have now. We'll have to set up a system that perpetuates its own money That's the goal of it, so that it doesn't have to have general fund appropriation. Because, quite frankly, it's not going to be possible to get general fund appropriation, to my understanding, for the Division of Ag, after fighting for 5 years and actually changing very few voices in the administration and in the legislature and the general public that is supporting general funds, it's just not going to be there. So what we need to do is establish a pot of something. The land would be part, the assets of the Ag Revolving Loan Fund and the Ag Revolving Loan Fund would be part. And then those assets would somehow or other have to support the issue. Now, whether or not we leave the regulatory functions as a part of the Board of Ag, or we move them to DEC, such as inspections, whatever we have, DEC has some now. But if we put all of those inspection type things that would fit under DEC there, those are necessary things. What we sort out and what we keep is part of this whole long process. We'll have to go through that in the interim. And then the other thing is, how do we tie into the agricultural experiment and forestry experiment station at the university? Because they are also targeted for no more funds. And they get federal funds, matching funds, but we have been for the last, I think, 3 or 4 years, getting their funds, $3 million from science and tech, and that's being phased out. And there's no one willing to phase in any general fund support for that. So they're without funds to support the federal funds that they get that keeps them alive. So we have also sent letters to our congressional delegation asking them to fit into this. So whatever we do and however we establish it, if we would be funding that and taking in those federal funds, we have to be sure that this Board of Ag will qualify, whatever the qualifications are, to be able to do that and then encompass that. Now, there's also the Cooperative Extension Service, which has also been getting hit and hit and hit. And that's within the university. And it's being reduced by the university budget. And then there's the Soil and Water Conservation, which actually is, I believe, working, is that under DNR? It is under DNR. But they have been getting shorted as well. And all of those things fit into the agricultural picture. They are all necessary components to be able to have a successful ag operation in the state. And so what we're attempting to do is figure out how to get control of those issues, get qualify for the federal funds, have our own income to do the match, and keep these things intact while the budget gets reduced around us. That's basically the goal of this, because the people in the ag community who have large investments and are really doing many of them very quite well feel that if these all things are to go away, they're just, it's going to be nearly impossible for them to do any additional growth in their business. So, anyway, Representative Berkowitz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I mean, my knowledge of Alaskan agriculture is limited to illegal crops that are grown here, but as a producer,
what role do you play, Representative Berkowitz?
As a regulator.
Neither a producer nor a consumer. But there's sort of a dizzying flurry of new organizations I'm unfamiliar with. And bottom line is, does this create fewer agencies that farmers have to deal with without reducing the range of services that are available to them?
It should. That should be part of the goal.
I'd like to add a couple of things, Madam Chair. One of the factors in instigating all this was the depletion of the Ag Revolving Loan Fund, which has been was originally set up to, as just that, to loan money to farmers to get started. It's been used to fund the Division of Ag for how many years now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
So that the assets of the Ag Revolving Loan Fund will quickly disappear, and there will be no revolving loan fund at all for the farmers if we don't do something. And that's one of the drastic happenings that has caused this bill to come forward at this time, to try to protect the assets of the loan fund. I would also like to add that Bill Ward is online. He has had intense conversations over the last few weeks about this bill with the bill drafter via telephone, and he is far more knowledgeable about the bill itself as drafted and where we want to go with it than I could probably ever be in this lifetime. So eventually during this meeting, I'd like a lot of technical questions maybe to be directed toward Bill Ward.
Right, and I, for the information of Representative Elton and Representative Berkowitz, who are not so intensely involved in agriculture as the rest of us, that Mount McKinley Meats, which is being run by the Corrections right now, is an asset of the Ag Revolving Loan Fund. The Matanuska Made Dairy is also an asset, which is being operated by the state, you know, in a vacuum here of some sort, is also an asset of the Ag Revolving Loan Fund. They also have contracts out there of loans, that payments that are being made. And one of the things that pretty much depleted the Ag Revolving Loan Fund is during this Delta Barley project and the Point McKinsey Dairy project, there were loans made that didn't get paid back. A lot of people went under, lots of money that didn't get repaid, which is one of the reasons why that there just isn't much support for it at all out there, because people know that, hear that, they're not directly related. They don't know what the things were or any of the details. They just see a lot. And there were a lot of errors made, just an awful lot of errors made. And personally, I don't blame the people involved for the errors either necessarily, because it wasn't unworkable, a thing that they were trying to do. And the problem was in how it was to work. It just didn't work. So, yes.
Yes, Madam Chairman, I have a severe dislike of the Division of Agriculture feeding out of the revolving loan fund, and that I will be very adamant to remove that situation and make that loan fund available to agriculture.
Appreciate that. Well, is there any other questions or comments before we go to Bill Ward? Yes, Representative Elton.
And Madam Chair, this may be answered down the road, but I guess, given the lack of funding for agriculture in the past. I mean, what is there a new pot of money that we're identifying? I know we've got the Ag Revolving Loan Fund. And we have some things that may or may not be assets that would be transferred over. But I guess I'm wondering, with diminishing state support, diminishing federal support, I mean, what do we use to get to that self-sustaining number that we probably need? Would that require some kind of an upfront cash infusion from the general fund?
It may, or from somewhere. It could take a pot of money to do that. The land has a value. If they had the land in their control and could sell it, that there's a lot of agricultural land that's still in the state's hands is not being sold. And quite frankly, I'm not interested in dumping land on the market. I think that we just need to have it available when people want to get it. I have a fellow in the Clear area now who wants to put in, he wants to grow game birds. And he's been finding the places where he can sell them. We've set up an appointment for him to meet with the Department of Commerce and Economic Development. Originally, he was going to do it on state land outside of Clear, which is in the Nenana area, and then now he's kind of looking at some Point McKinsey land as opposed to that. I don't know how many acres he needs, but he's already found his market for these birds. This is a fresh market of producing a bird that people eat, and now his ch- Shore is to figure out how he can put together a business plan, have the land, where he can do it, how he can, what the price will be, and just saying people will buy them, you have to know what the price is, and you have to make it at that price. So that's, you know, that's another area where when something like this is available, if the division of this Department of Ag was the person, the group of people who are very knowledgeable about agriculture and also business, could deal with him rather than him having to go to lots of other agencies to arrange to get this done, then that might make that more beneficial. And I'm sure there are a lot of others out there wishing to do the same thing. I've got a lot of people in my area that have been just going gradually what they can do. They work somewhere else, you know. That's the way my dad was a carpenter. He made a living as a carpenter, but he was a farmer. And, you know, he didn't work carpenter work all the time, but he built almost every barn and garage and chicken house and pig pen there was in the neighborhood, you know. So that's where he got an awful lot of the cash to keep his farming going and keep us going as I was growing up. And that, wherever I've lived in an agricultural community, unless you have huge corporate farms, generally farmers have something else they do well. My grandfather was a farmer in Iowa, and he was known as a pump and windmill man, otherwise known as a plumber. And so he fixed all of the windmills and pumps when they went down, and that's another way that he made a living. So farmers have a multitude of expertise in many, many areas. To be a farmer, you have to. Representative Berkowitz.
Again, I apologize for my ignorance about the agricultural situation here, but is most of the cropland or the farmland, is it small private farmers, or we agro businesses have a big role here?
Okay, well, in the, you know, the Palmer area, I know you haven't lived in the state that long, but the Palmer area was started with the federal program, and we have a lot of homesteaders in the Palmer area, so it's been, and it has some of each, some little, some big. The Delta mostly are large ones because of that massive state disposal of land issue. I'm not real familiar with, Bill Ward is on the Kenai Peninsula, probably Representative Hodgins knows more about that. In my area, the larger parcels are like 240 acres and smaller. And we do have some probably larger than that out towards Chena Hot Springs. So some big and some small. Depends on what crops they raise and that sort of thing. Representative Hodgins.
Yes, if I can add, the agricultural industry isn't just farm fields. There's down in the Kenai Peninsula and in southeast, we have the shellfish growers, and we're trying to establish the oysters on the Kenai, as I know they're looking at different ways of farming from the sea down here. In fact, there was a bill just through on the sea urchins. And we're, in my area, we're looking at trees. We have to reforest when there's timber cut. It would be very logical if we could develop some sort of reforestation nursery here within the state. And to this point, they found that that's been too expensive. But hopefully we can, with some innovation and some different thought, we can increase that. We've had people on the Kenai that have grown willow with the idea of using that for erosion control. And I don't know if you know, but the willow tree or the willow shrub or whatever they call it, you can actually drive it as a stake and it'll grow, and it's very helpful for erosion control along rivers and banks and inlets and stuff. We have the oysters, we have the hay, there's a lot of people grow hay, several places that are actually trying to start apples as kind of a hobby, that might grow into something different on the Kenai. And there's just, I think the emphasis is going to be on the smaller plots with this, encouraging people to get out and do things. Obviously, if we can solve some of our timber reforestation problems by growing trees here in Alaska, I think that'll help. But it's not just farm fields. There's any number of different things.
Well, and the other thing is the Plant Material Center, which we have in Palmer, they've been gathering seeds around the state of wild flowers and plants and so forth, and putting together the seed packet for revegetation around the state for after road projects or after any kind of scuffing up the soils, then they have this collection of natural seeds out there to throw back to help reseed the areas. So, you know, any place that you live and there's dirt and there's things growing, you do have agriculture going. It's plant and animal husbandry, actually. And I agree that that there's even been fox farming. There's a number of game animals that are farmed. Forestry. We have greenhouses. Lots of greenhouses. They're part of the same mixture. So we have a huge industry.
And they're owned by individuals rather than by large corporations.
That's correct. I'm not aware of any large corporation. We just have little people.
There are some native corporations that have dabbled in some of this, and we certainly want to encourage that.
Sure.
With our land holdings.
Do you have another question, Representative
Olson? I do, and maybe it can be answered in the course of the testimony that when we've got some of the experts online. But I mean, is there a definition of agriculture? I mean, one of the questions that I had, and Representative Hodgins addressed it, was fish farms or oyster farms that are marine, and some of the fish farms can be on land. But I mean, we've got reindeer husbandry, we've got a lot of other things, and I'm wondering if there is a definition of who has access to a corporation like this, whether there's any definition of agriculture that would include or exclude.
I don't know that we have that. However, I expect that there will need to be a definition of what, and that's got to be expandable, because we would have probably more and more little things happening up. Let's hear from Bill Ward now, and then we'll go. I have a number of people signed up here, and I hope to be able to get all of them to be able to testify. We also want to have you know that we have online Fred Husby from the School of Ag. He is the dean of the School of Ag, and Mr. Hollis Hall, who is the person in charge of the Cooperative Extension, University of Alaska Fairbanks. And they're online, available to answer any questions, but they don't wish to testify. So you should know that they're there in case we have any questions to ask them. Next, and then we also have from a couple of people from Delta. We have Bill Ward from Kenai, and we have a list of people here from the MAP, too. So, and Carol is here from DNR, mostly to listen, but she can testify if we need her. So let's go on to Bill Ward then and hear what he has to say. Bill, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, we'll go ahead and hear from you now.
Okay. Thank you, Representative James. Appreciate the opportunity to speak. First of all, I want to thank you for introducing this legislation in such a quick and timely manner. I think it's important that it gets on the table now so that there's enough time throughout the between sessions to really work on the details. I won't add too much. I think it's most important to hear what other people have to say at this point, but I'll just relate a little bit of what I've been involved in since this last work session. As you said, I met with Tam Cook, a bill drafter on this, and she did a fabulous job of being able to come up to speed on this in really short time. She also was very good at giving me a reality check on most of the aspects dealing with our Constitution and what you can and can't do. That's one of the problems when you're out here as a layman. You can visualize a lot of things, but sometimes the laws and such tend to limit your actions. But I think this shows a little bit of where we have to work within our limits. Ag Development Corporation basically must be a public corporation. It is not there's no public-private partnership. It will be a public corporation, and in that regard, it has to work for the benefit of the whole state. So we have to keep that in mind. We're talking a little bit in here about how this is all going to be funded, and we've brought up this issue of possibly using land sales and the revenues off of that to gain annual revenue. Other things have to do with other type of contract work that the corporation can do, whether, you know, the expertise in agriculture is significant and that sort of, but all this needs to be looked at for the potential. But the main thing is, you know, this corporation, this board is going to have to run pretty lean and mean because there isn't going to be big money generated. So they're going to have to learn to be able to be very efficient with very little. The one thing that that was told to me that regardless how we do this, everything that the corporation makes, every grant they receive, every piece of land they sell, basically goes to the general fund. And according to Tam, that's the way it is. And basically then we have to come back, or the corporation would have to come back, or the board would have to come back and basically ask for an appropriation from the legislature each year. So that is very significant. You know, it means that agriculture is going to have to be able to earn its place within the legislative process and earn the right to their legitimate appropriation alongside any other agency or department. The point being is that hopefully the board can show that for every dollar they're asking appropriation, they're basically returning that or in excess to the state general fund. But we would be at the plate every year for the appropriation process like everybody else. With respect to the ALF loan fund being involved in this, there's also, you know, the committee should be probably look into the fact that the revolving loan fund task force that the governor established to look at the ARLF as well as some of the other revolving loan funds in the state, I guess, has come out with a report, and there would be some recommendations in there. So we need to look at that and see how that ties in and see if it's compatible with what we're trying to do here. I think the only other thing is I see that doesn't need to be legislatively, but I think to kind of keep in people's minds as we look at the concept of using a Board of Agriculture as a kind of a managing body versus a an individual, you know, my thoughts were, you know, that you could gain a lot of broad expertise in that board that could really help make decisions. One of the issues is how effective boards can be in management as opposed to a full-time individual or staff. I think we need to also kind of be a little visionary here. You know, when the governor himself is really trying to expand the use of computers and audio conferencing and other you know, technological aspects of communication. And I think this board, as well as possibly other boards that are being used by the state, can become more effective by looking at this. It may not be necessary to bring these board members together and periodically for meetings. It could be that through computers, they can do a lot of their work right in their own homes or offices and have their expertise available almost on a daily basis. So I think that's something we should look at as, you know, as our technology advances, that these boards might become a more effective use throughout the whole state system in government. So just food for thought there, but that's all I've got for now. I guess I'm more interested to hear what other people have to say, and I'd be available for questions.
Thanks, Bill. Well, first of all, we'll go and take a couple of people from MATSU, and then we'll go to Delta, and then we'll come back, get some more people from MATSU, and see if anyone else gets online. So starting with Mr. Sigmund Restad, is it?
This is Sig Restad, and I'm testifying on behalf of the Northland Pioneer Grange. We have an ag committee that looked over the legislation and discussed it at our general meeting on Thursday night. And I have some general comments, and if time permits, I'll get into some details. In general, boards can be of some benefit. They can lend some expertise to the decision-making process and have more dialogue with agriculture people. But we have some general concerns. One of them is that the agricultural community is relatively small and there is a potential for conflict of interest with boards that have substantial power. Alaska's past has had some of those problems in cooperative boards and even in conservation boards, especially small ones, and we will address the size of the board in the details. The legislation proposes the same responsibilities that exist right now, but create a board that meets upon occasion instead of on a daily basis. It's always available. The proposed budget cuts would abolish several of the division's functions, or at least make them inoperable if proposed budget cuts go through. And if that's the case, some of the things that are the duties of this existing board would be non-existent anyway. We are concerned that the increased fiscal costs of a board compared to the existing structure, maybe additional funds could be used better with personnel in the field. Going over the bill on a line-by-line basis, we have some of the following concerns. On the first page, on line 10, we feel that a 7-member board instead of a 5, if you're going to have one, would be a better situation. With a quorum being only 3 people, it opens up some possibilities of 2 making some very controversial decisions. Page 2, line 2, that would, if we expanded the board to 7 people instead of 5, 4 should be agricultural production persons, not 2. And on page 2, line 10, the number and the length of meetings is unknown, but we feel that additional costs would be better used for field personnel. And on page 2, line 15, it seems the word appoint should be higher, or if it is a point, the question comes up, who would have the hiring and firing authority for the executive administration of the board? Would it remain with the governor and so on, or would the board do that? On page 2, line 22, there's a line that says all the minutes should go to the budget and audit committee, and we didn't feel this was probably necessary. All the minutes are probably available to them at their request. Page 3, line 8, the feeling was that there really should be an ag banker on staff and designated as such in the regulations or the legislation. Page 6, line 10 indicates, and I think that's the case now, that $25,000 is the maximum amount that could be loaned out without approval of the board. Feeling was that this is too small. An emergency during planting or harvest could put a farmer in a real bind when the board may not be meeting for a month or longer, and that this figure should be 50 or probably even 100 times, with some restrictions as to how the loan administrator would manage that. On page 6, line 11, the word corporation, we feel, should be the executive director. It says that it needs the approval of the board, and really the board and the board board and the agriculture board are the same, and so if someone is going to make a decision, it wouldn't be the same ones. I feel that's an item. On page 7, line 6 and 7, we felt that it could just as well delete the part of the line that says starting with except. Except that the board shall carry out the duties of the director under these sections. The first question was, who was the director? Because it doesn't show up. We don't have a director under this legislation anywhere else. And a comment that we have, and I touched on it basically before, but there is some details. If SB 109 should pass and become legislation, the land section would have to be restructured in order to confirm with the new legislation. In general, the Northland Pioneer Grange feels that at the present time, although there are many corrections and efficiencies that could be introduced into the Division of Agriculture, that a board would probably not solve their problems. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your testimony, Mr. Reistad. Now we have Robert Boyd.
Yes, my name is Robert Boyd. Born and raised here in Alaska. I've been involved in agriculture since the early 60s. I just got this bill yesterday, and I find several things that I don't like about it. The conflict of interest part, we had that back in the 60s with the Division of Agriculture, where if you weren't part of the in-group, well, you didn't get loans, and when you tried to get loans elsewhere, you had problems with it. Putting the inspection under DEC, I think, would handicap what's going on right now. You have a lot of inspectors that come out, put in a lot of their own time doing inspections, and if it goes under DEC, you're going to be charged overtime for that, which will increase it. This new board or this new entity that you want to create still has to go back to the legislature for funding, and it hasn't changed anything we've got right now. If we could stop grant money, like the money that was taken out of the Agricultural Loan Board for Beth there at the university for duplicating the service that we already had going, and the wages that are being taken out of there to pay to support the Division of Agriculture, it would streamline that and make it more effective. So there's a lot of things, I think, within the division that needs to be changed to make it more farmer-friendly, as well as encouraging young people in agriculture, but I don't think this is the route to go. Thank you.
Mr. Boyd, do you have any other suggestion, given the fact that if we don't do something, we might lose our entire Division of Ag?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've dealt with them since the 60s, and I think part of the problem that we need to do there is to change some of the things that they do. They're not very farmer-friendly. On one hand, they're asking the farmer to help support the issues there, and then on the other hand, they're out bashing you, so it's kind of like you're caught in the middle. But I think we could streamline the Division of Agriculture, like I say, stop paying wages out of it, stop making grants out of it instead of loans, and I think they'll succeed.
Are you talking about the Ag Revolving Loan Fund or the division itself?
Oh, the loan fund for taking grants out and wages out, and the division for streamlining it.
I understand that we wish that we could do that, too, and I think we were successful somewhat in this year's budget. I'm not sure. We haven't got the final budget yet. But that's a temporary measure if we weren't able to do that, pending the fact that we're going to figure out something else besides its existing existence. And so I guess that what we're striving to get here, and we're struggling to find a direction, and this is kind of a beginning, is that how we can have the same agricultural services that we now have in some assimilated manner that costs less and is more efficient.
Right. but both of us still have to go back to the legislature for funding. I think that's where the basis of the problem is.
Yeah, I didn't know that until I heard Bill Ward's testimony. That was never my intent, nor do I think that will work. So we might have to figure out something else there. We have to somehow or other, basic problem of this whole premise is the fact that we can't get funding for agriculture anymore. It's just, we just don't have enough support out there. So that's the issue that we're trying to address, by figuring out a way, and of course when we get to the end of this process or closer to the end, we would be able to project out some financial records of to seeing just exactly how much these things would cost. And until we get there, it's all surmising as to how much we would have to have in a pool of funds and how much this whole operation would cost. I think we can get that way someplace this summer. So I really appreciate your testimony, and keep tuned in, please.
Hey, if you get together where you have a committee or whatever, I'd be willing to serve on it. Thank you,
Mr. Boyd. Okay, let's go now to Delta and pick up a couple of people there. We have Mrs. Knopp, Lori.
Hi, this is Lori Knopp. I dairy here in Delta with my husband. We also have a feed business. And thank you, Representative James, for giving the opportunity for testimony. As Representative James mentioned, past failures were related to legislative decisions and in part to the initial experimental nature of farming in Alaska. I have seen a lack of continuity of policy. Continuity of policy is crucial to building a solid infrastructure for agriculture. I've heard many times the term at the discretion of the director. This has had a negative impact on my family's business. I've seen favors handed to political cronies. I've seen honest farmers, experienced farmers, ignored because they do not have, I should say the ARLF has not had a vested interest in their properties, and so they've been considered a risk to loan to. I would like to see the support for this bill. I feel that broadening the responsibility to five positions or maybe even seven like that was mentioned before, we'll get away from this good old boy attitude of you know, who's being dealt with in a fair manner. I know that there will probably be a lot of amendments to this bill. I just want to make my concerns known that the status quo of the division is not benefiting our industry as it stands now. There's going to have to be some changes, and I know the industry is wide open to changes now. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori. And Scott Miller?
Yes, good morning, everyone. Representative James, thank you for this time to speak. I'd like to relay a little story somebody just told. One of my neighbor farmers told me, kind of sums up the way I think most of us farmers feel. He said he has two problems in his life. Number one, he's an addicted farmer. He loves to farm, and number two, he loves to live in Alaska. And I think a lot of us fall into that category that we're the only ones that seem to really care or believe that agriculture has a place here. I just can't understand the mentality of most of the people in the state that see all of our dollars just being shipped out with every barge of food that comes in, how we can be supplying less than 5% of our own food and still not want to support an industry that builds a future for ourselves and our generations to come of supplying our own food. I'd like to say I support this bill. I believe that a entity that is farmer-driven is much better than bureaucratically dictated, which I believe is more like our current system. I'd like to believe that this board would be more efficient and more effective. Who other than farmers are masters of efficiency? We have to be. Here in Delta, I am quite active in this Delta Greeley Community Coalition, and I'd like to read a quick phrasing of the situation here in Delta. The realignment of Fort Greeley is creating a sudden and severe economic dislocation throughout the greater Delta region. The livestock industry is a critical segment of the region's economy and has been identified as a major area for expansion and economic revitalization. Expansion of the Delta region's livestock industry is dependent on the overall stability and development of the livestock and red meat processing industry in the state of Alaska. Recent progress has been made in addressing key issues of long-term stability and development of the overall industry. Farmers are committed to and working on the development of a new cooperative focused on the production, processing, and marketing of Alaska-grown red meat products. This step, which has already begun, establishes an organized approach to developing the meat industry and provides a focal point for agreements with the state on transaction plans and actions. I'll quit reading there. At this point, I guess what I want to stress is, where do we want to go with agriculture in this state? Do we just want to have a few people growing vegetables and a small dairy industry and a few people trying to make a living raising barley to support those few dairies and everybody else just trying to grow a little hay to feed a few horses? I mean, we're kind of kidding ourselves. I've said it before. Agriculture in this state is back in the 70s. We're moving into the 21st century now, and we've got to get with the program. We've got, you know, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but we've got to figure out a way to get support for this industry and move forward with it, and move forward with it in a real way. With this Delta Greeley situation, we're taking some criticism for it. But we're really trying to look at the whole industry and a whole infrastructure and a whole system that works. And this might involve an ethanol plant. We've had a preliminary assessment done by our consultant that actually, you know, and these are just a preliminary assessment, but the numbers look like they could work. We have an in-state demand for ethanol. We've got 100,000 acres out there on the Delta Project area that 80,000 acres are basically sitting idle because, you know, what incentive is there for people to go out and plant without getting some markets established? If we have this in-state demand for ethanol that we could supply this, and we have the byproduct of the distiller's grain that could support and quite possibly make a viable economic livestock industry that could be supplying a large majority of our red meat in the state. The byproduct could be helped to supplement the protein needs of the dairy industry. I just can't help but feel that we can't just keep putting little Band-Aids on these things. We need to be looking at the whole thing and try to make the thing work as one big economic unit. With that, I guess that's all my comments for now. Thank you.
Well, I thank you very much for your testimony today. And I see that you've faxed us a lot of information on ethanol, and we have it available. If anyone out there is interested in that information, or the committee, we can we can look at that. Now we'll go back to the Mat-Su area. And incidentally, for the people in Mat-Su, as I think this or the Kenai, which I think would be probably the biggest potential for such a crop, is that I've been talking to someone who is interested, really interested in a small crop of hops for the what do they call those breweries that they have, those
micro breweries
they have now, and they're already using in-state barley, and I'd really like to make their microbreweries Alaska grown. And so, you know, I think that probably at least in the Mat-Su area or maybe in the Kenai that it would be possible to grow some hops. And if anybody's willing to do that, I can get you in touch with the people who are interested. So just wanted to let you know that. Next is Dick Zobel.
I'd like to thank you for this opportunity and your committee for speaking and participating in this. I'd first like to echo Mr. Rigstead and Mr. Boyd's comments. My personal involvement in agriculture, while somewhat more limited than theirs, has been over the past 20 years here in the Mat-Su Borough. But I regard this bill as basically being a duplication of what's already in place. Those of us who participated in agriculture during the big money days participated in various groups and through various methods and tried to influence the formation of the Division of Agriculture and some of those divisions in the Department of Natural Resources. And to a degree, I think we would all agree we got the structure in place, while sometimes some of those individuals being, and I don't want to wear out the political appointee word or terminology, but that's what they were. And so they didn't fit into what a lot of us perceived as the best way some of these divisions and sections could function, but at least the basic formation was there. And I feel, knowing what we do about the general fund and the Constitution, the constitutional requirements, I think we're trying to reinvent the wheel with this bill. Go down a long, long road, and I've participated at the borough level in some of these reorganizations and new concepts, and I've participated at the state level in several also. And in many instances, it was 8 or 10 years before you could even see the moss starting to grow in the right places. So I don't think that this is the time. Our basic problem has been, from the time the big money started to decrease, has been funding and the legislature. And I don't want to insult you or your committee, because I think you're taking on a very big, heavy load here. But I think you have to target those people who do not view a $30 million industry as anything that they need to devote some money to. Whether it's tourism or forestry, and by the way, I do view forestry as being part of our agricultural pursuit, same as the Oyster Farms and some of these other things going on in Southeastern. But the big picture is the state will suffer far less degradation, problems from environment if agriculture expands than some of the other industries we've heard of. Bottom line is, I think you need to target the pet projects of some of these people against us and make them sweat. Thank you.
Well, I really appreciate your testimony, Mr. Zobel, and I hear everything you're saying, and I can agree with you, but I tell you that it's almost impossible. I've been working at it for 5 years, and it's an uphill battle. But we'll keep working on it and see what we can do. I tend to agree. I want to say it very clearly. If we're not able to set this aside to operate on its own, and make its own money and keep its own self protected, and if we have to come back every year to the legislature for an appropriation, unless we do that like Alaska Housing and like ADA and some of those other issues, if we don't have some control over those funds, except for being subject to the whims of the legislature, this will not work. That is one of the things that the whole, whatever we do, I believe, to reorganize, put together, and cooperate internally on the benefits and advantages and support for agriculture, this won't work. What we're really here for is to find a fence around these things that cannot be attacked by the same things that we have no control over now. So, you know, from my opinion, from the uphill battle that I have fought on the agricultural issues, that we just won't have some of these things. Quite frankly, it scares me if we don't have the ag experimental forestry and experimental farm at the university. And it is the first thing to go, and that's an integral part of agriculture in this state. The cooperative extension, which does other things for people, but has also been a real big participant in the agricultural community to make everything work. And also the soil conservation group, which I don't think we'll lose them completely, but they'll be so reduced that they'll be ineffective and not be able to do anything. So it's bigger than a division of ag problem. It's an agriculture problem, and if anyone has any better ideas to figure out how to build a fence around this so that we can have, even if it has to be chain link with three lines of barbed wire, we have to protect ourselves from the outside or we'll never be able to keep the inside going. Representative Berkowitz?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was wondering what the experience has been in other states and if they've made any efforts to do what we're setting out to do here and how successful those efforts have been.
I don't have the answer to that. Bill, have you looked into anything in other states?
I haven't looked in specifically. I know other states, you know, the issue is in other states they have a very much traditionalized agricultural industry that was probably the original industry and the most basic industry, so they have a lot stronger support. You know, in most states they have a Department of Agriculture, not a lowly division underneath a DNR. There are other states that use the, you know, boards of agriculture. I know that, but it's all part of a larger system.
Thank you. Let's go on now. We have Paula Geo.
Madam Chair, next testifier is Dana Olson.
Okay. Sorry, I missed that one. Go ahead, Dana.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Dana Olson, and I'm more interested in speaking about restructuring our agricultural programs than specifically your bill today.
That's fine.
I wanted to talk about the Americans with Disability Act and how our state has let our disabled people down by tending to screen out and make the programs not accessible to them. The only program that we have currently in existence is the Agricultural Homestead Program, which is much less physically intensive than the heavy intensive agriculture. My husband is handicapped. We've had personal bias and we've had to file an Americans with Disability complaint. So this is something that's going to have to be addressed in the future, or we will lose our federal agricultural funds. So I just wanted to mention that it needs to be looked at. Maybe you could even consider a person who is handicapped on your board, because we are not incapable of participating in agriculture. You have labeled us incapable of participating. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your concerns. Paula Geoff?
Madam Chair, we inadvertently sent down Paula Geoff and Alan Mitchell. So our next testifier will be Doug Warner.
Okay, Doug Warner.
Thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I just would keep my comments fairly brief. And I do work for the Division of Agriculture, and I'm also developing a farm. And I agree with a couple statements made that the status quo is not good, and I don't think that's – I think that's true in many industries. And, you know, what Scott Miller had talked about, farmer-driven, I think is the key here. The funding of the – of agriculture, whether it would be through a board or a division, is the key element. And I don't know that this bill will necessarily change that, but certainly farmer-driven and getting input from the experts in the field is something that would be always welcome. Now, whether we want to change the current system to allow more appropriate input may be something we want to do. And I think that would be important. I don't know that this bill addresses that, you know, substantially. The other thing I would say is our USDA programs, our cooperative agreements that we have with the federal government, we may be challenged to find a way to do that with the private industry. I don't know that it couldn't be done, but it's not typical. The good old boy concept that we heard, you know, unfortunately, I think that's the reality of politics, whether it's going to be with the board or whether it's with the current system. And any way we can address that and improve it should be done, but I think that's going to be in place with either system. I guess I'd limit my comments to that at this time.
Okay. Thank you, Doug. I you were online probably when I mentioned that we have sent a letter to our congressional delegation to ask them to work with us on this issue, to see that whatever we do, if there's any federal funds, that we need to be sure that we can maximize them and what we can and can't do to do that. So, and I know you're real familiar with those federal funds, so appreciate your testimony.
You know, I would just say your comment on we have to refine some way to put a good taste of agriculture in people's mouths. That can be a very pointed statement, a bad taste in people's mouths from agriculture. We want a good taste.
Yeah, that's right. That's a kind of a good little pun, too. okay, Earl Clable.
Mr. Clable gave up his time to Mr. Regstead originally, and we have one more person come in. I don't know if you have their name yet.
Okay. Then who's next?
I'm Craig Tritton. We're dairy farmers and hog farmers out of Point McKenzie.
How do you spell your name, Greg?
Greg, and it's Tritton, T-R-Y-T-T-E-N.
Thank you. Go ahead.
There are landowners out there. We owe some money to the state. I feel this bill is, I don't know, looks kind of bad to me. I think we should have a lot more people having say than five, and all appointed by the governor. I think we should have some people from every sector, like vegetables, beef, hogs, dairy, you know, private sector. And I think we should have a Secretary of Agriculture that's recognized in this state and nationally in Washington, D.C., so we can help out with these federal funds, things like that. But I think this is very serious that you have five people here to create a quorum, and some of them could be not even active in production agriculture, and they could say what you can do with your land and how you can do it, and if you can get a loan, if you can't. That's all I'd like to say right now.
Okay, thank you very much. Now who's next?
That does complete our testifiers, Madam Chair.
That completes the testifiers. Okay, do we have anyone else in teleconference land that wants to testify? Bill Ward, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Would you have any comments about, and I'm hoping that the people in Mat-Su are hanging around because we have a little more time and we may want to ask some more questions so we get some discussion going. Some of these comments that were made, could you respond?
Well, you know, I think the points they make are valid in the fact that, you know, there needs to be a strong agency type influence for the agriculture industry. I think anybody in the industry recognizes that you have to have some interaction with state government, not only through the inspection process, which is mandated, but with respect to the other regulatory functions that control our lives. We have to be able to have some input on that. I think the key issue in this is how we can build a structure that, you know, basically is publicly supported, so that the legislative portion, whether we have to go back to the legislature or endow it with some way to do it to fund itself, still has to have public support. You know, even if you create a scenario where a division of agriculture, a board of agriculture, or any concept has its own private monies, you'll never get this passed if we don't make it acceptable in the public eye. When I mentioned earlier that we have to go back to the legislature for the appropriation process, the one way you can do that in statute is you can put funding tracks in there. You can identify in statute different trails where the entity can go after funding sources, be it land sales, be it anything else. And at least then the legislature has an ability to acknowledge whether or not the entity, be it the division or the corporation, has fulfilled its obligation of identifying those funding sources. That's one of the problems now is the legislature and the general public really doesn't understand the benefit that the public receives from agriculture representation. In the current budget scheme, you know, the ARLF is funding the Plant Materials Center as a agricultural function, when in fact the Plant Materials Center is doing a tremendous amount of good for the general public. Through their reclamation efforts on the horticultural industry and such. And it's, we have to identify the public interest in a lot of this funding. The inspection programs, I mean, those are for the public benefit. They're not for the producer's benefit, other than it's a check and balance to make sure that the producer provides quality products, but this is an effect for the public benefit. So the issue is being able to identify what the public can recognize as a need. The idea of trying to maintain or gain legislative support for division is fine. I mean, I don't have a problem with that, but I guess everybody that has a concern with this method, you have to come up with a way you're going to do it. I mean, we've tried for 5 years now to protect general funding for the Division of Agriculture, and it has gotten worse every year. Most of the people that I heard speak, you know, I have attended every one of the teleconferences in this budget process for the DNR as well as for a lot of the university, and I haven't heard you people there testifying. You know, if you're going to fight for general funds, you have to get in there and fight for them and be successful. So, there's got to be a way to make it work. The one thing that using a board concept, I think whether you have a conflict of interest or not, I think any time you can spread out the representation and you get more knowledge and expertise on a board, I think it is for the common good. I've seen that when I served on the ARLF board. There's nobody there trying to protect their own pocketbook or trying to make a loan that's going to come back to help them personally. I think people that get on these boards are not there to get rich, or they're not there to gain a power trip. I think they're there to honestly try to do some good. And the more time you have more knowledge on a board, or more knowledge in a organization, the decisions that that group comes with are better and better served. I think any time you limit the amount of access to information and force one individual to make a decision without having a broad range of input, that's where the trouble starts. And it's not that the individual is trying to do anything to make the right decision, but it's very difficult for one person to have that broad base of experience. The biggest problem with Alaska is we're so damn big and we're so diverse that it's very difficult to understand the interests of all areas. And that's why I think however we structure this, the more knowledge we can bring into it, the better. You know, if you can figure out a way to keep a division of agriculture, hey, that's fantastic. But I still think we need a board of agriculture for oversight, because I think the expertise is out in the field. It's not within the bureaucracy, and I think that's what we need to capitalize on. Let's see. I think we do need to discuss further today on the role of the Forestry Experiment Station and CES, and with those, I thought you said Fred Husby is online. Representative James, if you have time, I'd like to hear a little bit of input from them as to where they see their programs going and how they can either fit into this or what plans they've got to try to stabilize their own structure. So if you could devote a little time to them, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, we'll ask them. Fred, are you there? Did you hear the questions that Bill Ward had?
Go ahead. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Representative James?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I heard his question. I guess I could make a couple general comments. There was one concern raised by a representative early, and then I'll come back to Bill's specific things, that would this restructure streamline things? And one of the things that I'm worried about under the restructure, where the regulatory functions are going to DEC and the other functions may stay under a board or the old division, when you separate these out, you've destroyed your one-stop shopping approach. So I don't think that's going to simplify it for farmers by separating those functions out. Now back to our particular problem. Really acute. We're faced with about $1 million budget cut this July 1 because of our dependence upon the Alaska Science and Technology Foundation funding and the governor's proposed rollback of $530,000 this July 1. That means we can't match $485,000 of federal funds. By the time we added that up, we're looking at $1 million, and we're cutting about six programs that we just put on the table last Friday. And the following July 1, 1998, we'll remove another $1 million and essentially close down everything but the degree program within the school. So we've been working with our congressional delegation through Senator Green's office, with several of our constituents, through other representatives and senators, to see if we can get this rollback of the $530,000 to Alaska Science and Technology Foundation. In other words, we have an acute problem rather than looking at your long-term problem here with restructuring the Division of Ag. I think that we would probably best remain within the university structure to get our match if we get our funding problem solved on a longer-term basis. One of the things that you might look at is to set up a foundation where they have to generate their own revenue. It's a setting aside and that they can't dip into that. They have to generate some revenue to use to operate. I realize that's a set aside of general fund money at the start, but you aren't going to be continuously going back to the legislature. And I'd answer any specific questions if Bill was thinking on a couple other lines there. or if anybody else had a specific question.
Well, let me see if I could tell you what I had been thinking, and I have not a clue whether any of these things would work. I'm just trying to get the arrows going in the right direction as to what needs to be happening, and I agree. I don't know from the federal government what we need to do to maintain the federal support that you get, but it's the general fund match that we have a problem with. And I thought if there was a way under the Board of Agriculture that we could be sufficiently endowed in the beginning to be able to have over the long haul the income potential that we would need to finance it, that we could just then contract with the university and give them those funds. I just thought maybe it would be easier to get them in that way. I haven't, you know, we haven't really researched to see where we could get this this basic beginning so we would be able to have that much money. But if we have to fight every year for the general funds, you know, even as energetic and as committed as I am, I lose interest because it's just too hard of a road to climb. And there's a lot of other issues I have to deal with. I mean, this is one of my most passionate ones, but, you know, when you just keep getting beaten around the head and the shoulders, you just wonder if the whole effort is worth it. So, and I agree on that 530. We're working on that to see if we can't get a stall on it. If we do get a stall, it's only for 1 year. And, of course, that gives us another year. And I've been using as an excuse, well, let's don't take it now. Let's wait till we see if we can figure out some other way to fund it so that we don't have this big hole in the middle of it. So for what that's worth, Hollis, do you have anything to add?
Yes, Representative James. I think there are a couple things we have to keep in mind that when we talk about the federal funds that are being distributed by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, that those are for experiment station and extension, are distributed through the University of Alaska. And to maintain those, I think we have to keep that relationship continuing. The legislature or the University of Alaska, either one, can make the decision that they do not want to invest public dollars into research and development in this state. And a major part of the research and development activities in this state are the experiment station and the extension service. But that's a decision that can be made by those public decision makers and not something that can be denied them. We need to, you know, it's a basic philosophical decision that has to be made. Is it important to develop the resources, the forestry, the land, the agriculture resources in this state? Then if the legislature says that, yes, it is. We, of course, still have the additional hurdle of whether there's a commitment from the Board of Regents of Higher Education for these types of functions. I don't know how we will get out of that, even if we wanted to, get out of that stream of decision makers and that funding stream. It's going. I think it has to stay that way, and I think we probably have to be outside of the of some of the issues that are addressed in this this bill. That does not mean that there couldn't be some oversight and review functions of any board that would be developed, agricultural board. That would report periodically to the Board of Regents or to legislative bodies. I think if there were a mechanism that those deeply involved in the management of Experiment Station and Extension Service could address the issues and could address the output and activities of their respective operations to the legislature and Board of Regents of Higher Education in this state, that would be most helpful. That particular opportunity does not has not been exercised since I've been here, and it's no wonder that there's probably not a great deal of support or knowledge about what these two agencies do in the legislature. That's all I have to say.
Well, I appreciate those comments, Hollis. I think I tend to agree that is where a lot of this this problem is. I guess the other thing that I had expected today, and I was happy to see the people that were on these lists that were out there willing to listen and testify today, but I'd hoped to have a lot more. There's an awful lot more out there that are affected, and I don't know if they just don't know or whether they don't care or whether they're too busy doing other things or whether they don't realize how important their voice is. And you're right, Bill. I understand your intense work that you've done on the budget, but it takes more than one. You have to have a crowd behind you. You have to have identified people who are as passionate as you are, or it doesn't move this body very much. So, you know, maybe that's one of the areas we should seriously look into. Maybe we ought to have a lobbyist. You know, they're walking the halls all the time, representing their people. That's what they do for a living, and maybe we need one so that you all don't have to take off from work, spend your own money to come to Juneau, or spend your own time on teleconferences to try to get your message across. So if there's anyone else now, it's 25 minutes till I've about talked myself out. Is there anyone here in the room that wants to testify or have anything to say? Is there anyone else out there on teleconference that wants to have anything else to say? Anyone of the committee members have anything else to say? Representative Hodgins.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairman. There was a question earlier about the scope of about agriculture in the state, and while we've been talking, I've thought of some other areas for Representative Elton and Berkowitz to think on. And basically, in the Kenai, we have very successful businesses down there, and I would cite one as the Wild Berry Products out of Homer that employs a lot of folks, and it's based on agriculture. They go out and they gather berries and honey and whatnot, and I know of several people in the Kasiloff area that have had honeybee farms. And kind of the offshoot besides the honey is the fact that people with MS will sometimes journey down there and get stung by a bee, and that seems to either relieve them or give them some sort of comfort on the MS that's affecting their bodies. I don't know if it's an actual medical phenomena or what, but I have talked to several that do that, and they do get some sort of comfort out of it. I know that we've had the mushrooms. People go out and gather mushrooms and stuff, and I don't know whether they sell them or barter them or subsistence style or whatnot. But there's a lot of things that we can do in this state in agriculture. And unfortunately, the catch-22 is because of our temperature zones, we have to be very, very innovative. We have to pick up on things that actually are native to Alaska and see if we can find a market for them, or we have to be very innovative in how we grow things. Another instance I'd like to share is down on the Alaska Peninsula, down by Port Moeller. There's several natural hot springs, and there are actually people that have grown things around those hot springs utilizing the heat that comes up. So there's a lot of things that we can do, and unfortunately, we don't have the agricultural industry like Washington State or Idaho or Montana or any other native states do, that there's enough revenue coming in that we can afford to hire or afford to establish a bureaucracy that would oversee that and help implement the things. And that's where the true test is. And we have a lot of innovative people in this state that I think if we can craft some legislation or craft some ideas that would allow them to kind of free think and maybe get out of their way, maybe help them in areas that we can help them in non-monetary functions. And I think that's what we're going to have to do, and that's going to have to be the emphasis, I think, that we can push forward and actually accomplish some of the things that we want to accomplish.
Thanks, and I was just thinking, you know, if we listed the things that we really do need the state to be a clearinghouse on, marketing tips and interests and so forth, certainly the state could be a clearinghouse for that information. If anyone wants to buy something, they would have a central location to say, we're interested in buying this. You have a producer on that. The other regulatory issues that need to be done, inspection, and I've been extremely concerned since we have a very, very clean environment for agriculture in this state. We don't have the pests that they have in other areas. We have the extreme cold in the interior part of Alaska, which kills those pests so that they're not here. I mean, it's kind of a self-destruction thing that we have. Beyond that, in the interior, we have 24 hours of sunlight during the summer, so we have two days of growing period in one, and we grow huge cabbages, excellent vegetable crops, because of having all that sun, and they grow twice as fast as they do where you don't have 2 days of sunlight. Now, there are some crops that need to have the dark, they need to have the day and they need to have the dark, and so we've even, from the university, has brought forth corn, and some of those other seeds that will survive without having dark at night to be able to get to maturity within the time frame and the short growing season we have. So I think that the university has over the past years and is currently doing an extraordinary job of providing the kind of information that we need for Alaska. Especially for Alaska, and then there's the Arctic research also that's going on at the university, which is also giving us some help. And there is the overall interest for the Arctic, a circumpolar conference of agriculture in the Arctic, because especially the reindeer herding and some of those other things that is a great potential. Partly because we're not being threatened by people moving in on us like they are in some of the other agricultural areas in the state where I remember that song they used to say, they took paradise and paved the parking lot. What did they do on that song? Anyway, I always liked that song. And that's where they put airports and, you know, and cities and things right in our best farmland. We don't have that problem much here, except I think that the Matsu area is suffering with that same interest of really people want the land that's the best land for ag, and they want to live on it, you know. So that can be a problem there. But the rest of the state, we don't have that. So the inspection, so the regulation, and then we also need some small loan monies. If that can be provided by banks, it would be better. But if it's not available to banks, and it may well be that it might be more available by banks if the SB 109, is that the right number, passes, then they could get their funding somewhere else. But we also need to make land available for people, and there's a lot of land still in state ownership that is not in the ownership of farmers and could very well be done to accelerate what's going on out there. And so we need an active program in that light. So you have anything to add, Representative Elton?
Yes. Madam Chair, I'm starting out a little further behind than having grown up in Juneau. I mean, our concept of agriculture has been pretty much limited to dairy farming, and there's not any of that anymore in our community. But mean, I guess the big question in my mind, and the question that it will need to be resolved for me is, I mean, I understand that there is a value sometimes to changing the process, and I think especially when it's a governmental process, we should always be reviewing the structure that within which we're trying to accomplish something. But it seems to me also that there are other dynamics that are at play here, and I mean, just kind of off the top of my head is access to markets. I mean, if we look at a state of 600,000, I mean, the best we can do is define Alaska markets as local markets, and so that geographic